God calls us. And He calls us in a lot of different ways. We could take a survey this morning to see who has heard from God, or we could ask, how have you heard from God? Who has heard from God? We might have a pretty good response. But how you have heard from God is as different as every person that we see here today. So we're going to take a survey through four passages of Scripture this morning. And I believe each one of them shows a very distinct way that God is calling us. But it's not always the same thing. Depending upon the situation, where we find ourselves, and what God is up to. We're going to dust the pages of the Old Testament off this morning. We're going to go back a few thousand years. And it has to do with a man God called. He seemed to be a reluctant man as God tapped on his shoulder and said, I have an assignment for you. Who is this man? Jonah. So in Jonah chapter 3, first five verses and then verse 10, I believe God calls us at times to proclaim. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, just like Philippi. Oh, maybe not. A 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed His mind about the calamity that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. There are times in our lives when God says, I need you to speak out. I don't want you just to act passively sit by, but I need you to speak into a situation. Because there are issues that a person or a nation are going through, and unless they correct the direction they are headed to a one-way ticket to destruction. That's where Jonah found the city of Nineveh. And it was a time in which Jonah had to get up and proclaim God's truth. God's truth involves speaking to all of our lives to say we are not the center of the universe. We do not have it all figured out on our own. Left to our own devices, we all stray from God's way. And Nineveh was not only a living example of that, it was a big living example. How do we know how big Nineveh was? It's a 3-day walk. 60 miles? Yeah, you think, you know, if you had to do it, you could probably do 20 miles in a day. If you had to. 3 days' journey from one end to the other. Jonah had a God-sized assignment in front of him. And when God called him, he responded. I don't know if you picked up in the scripture we read. We just read a portion of all of Jonah's story. It says, the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I know this probably has never happened to you, but sometimes when God speaks to me, I'm not listening very clear the first time around. And aren't you glad we serve a God that doesn't give up on us either? That He still gives us an opportunity to do that in which He's asked us to do. Now, this proclamation, you say, well, man, I'm glad He's talking to Jonah because He's never asked me to speak to a city that's 60 miles wide. But how many things does He impress upon our hearts throughout the week where we are to say that word of truth into someone else's life? To speak it in such a way that we're not there to condemn or judge or say, hey, I've arrived and you haven't, but to say, listen, we are in a world that wants nothing more but to destroy us. But we serve a God who wants nothing more but to love us. He wants the very best for us. And we see the response of this great city. In Nineveh, it says they understood who they were, sinners in the hand of an almighty God, and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And there are many of us here today that have come to that point in their lives when we realize we do not measure up on our own. There is nothing that I can do to earn my salvation, to connect myself to Christ. We have to, just as those in Nineveh did, accept His mercy in that process. There is certainly a time in our lives where we need to proclaim. We need to speak. But as I look through all of what God has given us in His Word, there may be times when we need to do the opposite of proclaiming. How about Psalm 62? We're going to start in verse 5 there today. For God alone my soul waits in silence. For my hope is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together, lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in exhortation and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And steadfast love belongs to You, O Lord. For You repay to all according to their work. God calls us and there is a time to proclaim. But God calls us and also there is a time to be silent. I am really good at hearing myself go on. And anybody that's with earshot of me, I want you to hear what I've got to share, and I'm going to tell you about some experiences that have happened with me. But somewhere in our day, is there an opportunity to seek silence? And I'm not seeking silence so that I don't have any noise. That's not what He's trying to get at here. But if I am wanting to hear from God, I've got to somewhere along the way shut up long enough so I can hear. And sometimes I'm afraid of that silence. So I'll turn on the radio or I'll find a good you know, K-Love is a great radio station, or The Message if you've got, digital, it's great. Or, you put on your headphones to hear what's going on, or we'll flip on the TV to see, if we'll catch something there. A lot of times we do that just so we can have noise, right? But the psalmist is finding the value in silence. That our hope and our salvation and our refuge is found in not what we can accomplish, not in what we can say, but in who we are in Christ. He has fearfully and wonderfully made us. So I'm not sure where you need to find that silence. But I encourage you not to be afraid of it. Because we're not going so that we can have the absence of sound. We're going so that we can be still to hear when God speaks. And I still believe that God speaks. It certainly can be an audible voice that you could hear from Him. There are many instances of that throughout Scripture where individuals have heard an audible voice. But at the same time, I believe we hear God speak through His Word. I believe we hear God speak through the songs of faith that remind us of who we are and who He is, how we are connected to Him. I believe God speaks through the prayers of His people, that He speaks in the midst of His sanctuary. And I believe He speaks even in the magnitude of His creation. Yesterday I had the privilege of hearing Him speak through a little six-year-old young lady who I had the pleasure of meeting really for the first time. Once she finally figured out who I was and what my name was, she then said, "Mr. John, where does God live?" And then a little bit later she said, "Mr. John, does God teach us?" Yes, I believe He does. I was trying to think of what I needed to say and how to appropriately put these great questions. I believe sometimes if we're just silent enough to recognize that God puts people and places and situations in our path so that we can recognize Him even greater. I'm not exactly sure what happened during the video for me. I was overwhelmed by the idea of all those individuals had to overcome to get back to where they were. Many of those were cancer survivors. One was a fatal, almost fatal shooting event that happened, and to see the enduring pain and agony and rehabilitation. But then to see how God has a different plan above all that the world has to offer. It's overwhelming sometimes for me to think of everything you are going through every day. And that there are folks here this morning that are walking through a tremendously difficult time. And that we need to hear God calling us in the midst of our life, wherever we find ourselves. May we be open enough to proclaim, and may we be open enough to be silent. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31 gives us another very interesting perspective on what God calls us to do. This word is not in any of the translations, but I tried to sum up what was going on in these few little verses. I believe God calls us to be counter cultural. That's a big word. It's not in Scripture. But look at what Paul is trying to say here in chapter 7 of his first letter. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as those who are not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. And then this is his summary statement of all these different counter ways to look at life. For the present form of this world is passing away. There is a great song of the faith. That I heard just a few times growing up. And it says, this world is not my home, right? I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I wish I could just wave a magic wand and all the pain and the suffering just goes away, you know. Or we don't have to watch those that we love slowly fade away. But God calls us to be in a community where we don't have to face those things alone. That we are in a world that is broken and incomplete. And in the midst of this brokenness, there are times when we have opportunities to rejoice. Opportunities to step forward and say, God, we're going to do things differently than the world tells us. Now, I don't believe Paul is recommending that all of those that have wives, we say we don't have any. You know, that's not exactly what he's trying to get at here. He's just saying, don't put all of your faith in your family. Do not allow your family to be your top priority. Do not allow your job to be your top priority. Do not allow your possessions to be your top priority. But to ultimately put our faith and trust in God first above all else. Because we can get really tied up in our own issues. When something is hurting me, I want to mourn and I want everybody else to mourn with me. You're going to be in this pit of misery. If I got to be here, I want you to be here too. Or if I'm celebrating, I want you all to be in that same camp and we're all going to celebrate. But I think what Paul is saying, do not let our emotions be what connects us ultimately to God. And that our priorities in life all have to fall under our following Him. Does He want us to be connected to our family? Does He want us to love and be a part of their lives? Absolutely. But He's calling us first to be countercultural. To actually go against what the world says is the most important. The work of God is countercultural to mainstream society. So much of our society today is not filled with justice. It is saying the one that has the most toys at the end wins. It is based so much upon power and prestige. And God calls us to a different value system of life. The work of God calls us to repent, to turn away from the ways of the world, and to believe in the good news that Jesus has a plan for us all. And it's that plan. We'll finish then with the same passage that Corrine started with our children this morning. This call of God ultimately calls us to respond. We do need to proclaim when it's time to proclaim. We need to be silent. We need to do it in a countercultural way. But if all we do is hear the good news and never respond, we miss the greatest part that God has in store. Those early four fishermen all put down their nets. It says two of them left their boats, and it says two of them left their daddy. And I'm not sure which was more traumatic in their life. Leaving their livelihood or leaving their family. But they did. John calls his first disciples after John the Baptizer was arrested. Jesus preaches his first sermon, and here it is. The time has come, the kingdom is near, repent and believe the good news. He sees Simon and Andrew casting a net into the sea, and he calls them to follow him. He then sees James and John mending nets in their boats and their father Zebedee, and he calls them to follow him. They leave their nets and their father behind to follow Jesus. What is it about Jesus that made them ready to go? Was it what he said? Or how he said it? Or was it that James and John were tired of doing the things the sons always do, which is follow in their father's footsteps? Maybe they were waiting for something new to come, and Jesus was that something new. And I believe it's the same Jesus that's calling us today. He is, in fact, offering us something new, a transformation of our heart that allows us to put everything in the right perspective. I do believe He calls us to proclaim. And I absolutely believe that there are times that we need to be silent so that we can hear His calling. And that the values of the world do not line up with God's values. But I ultimately have to respond. I have to somewhere along the way draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that God created all that there is. I'm going to believe that He gave us His Word through at least 40 different authors, that we still have value and purpose in hearing today. I'm going to believe that His Son came to the earth and died so we could have life. And I'm going to respond to that so that my life will now reflect the one that I serve. Do we have any overcomers out there this morning? I see a whole lot of them. And my prayer is that you would understand and accept God's grace and mercy as we walk through this life, one step at a time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, You have called us. That voice that we have heard has come in many different ways. But I believe every single way that I have ever heard God call me will always line up with the word that He has given us through His Scripture. Because here's the other issue. I believe that there are other voices out there that are calling us as well. And they want us to recognize that we don't have value. We don't have worth. There is no plan or purpose to this world. So you might as well just grab all you can now as you're going through, because what you have is all that there is. Lord, I pray that we recognize those voices to be from the tempter, from the one that tries to trip and manipulate and twist this amazing gospel, good news message that You have proclaimed. Lord, You call us to repent, and You call us to now live a new life. May we live in that new life and share it with all those that You bring in our path. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray.